The FT.
Jeff Bezos, the founder and chief executive of Amazon, was this week forced to issue a staunch defence of the online retail empire that he set up after a stinging attack on its management style by the New York Times. I'm Matthew Vincent, the deputy companies editor of the FT, and I'm joined by my colleague Hannah Kuchler from San Francisco to discuss this week's events. Hannah, can you summarise exactly what the criticisms of Amazon were in this New York Times article?
Yes. So it was a really long and wide-ranging article where they say they've interviewed sort of over 100 former and current Amazon staff. It focused on the white-collar staff, so, you know, those working in headquarters and big offices, not the warehouse staff for Amazon. And it described this high-pressure atmosphere with staff forced to work long hours, often found weeping at their desks, and managed by a system which tries to push out underperformers each year. This is a system that Amazon has since denied. It also detailed some specific stories from former Amazon employees about the company being insensitive when employees are dealing with family or health issues. For example, one employee being told she needed to focus more on her work just after she'd had a stillbirth.
These are very, very harsh criticisms, and coming from existing and former employees, presumably they've hit Amazon quite hard. How has the company reacted to the coverage and, you know, what people have been talking about since the article appeared?
Amazon has, as you might expect, strongly denied the accusations of sort of being a bruising workplace, as the New York Times put it. Its PR chief was out on TV over the weekend. It's the former White House Secretary Jay Kearney who was going on all the cable channels to sort of vigorously protest against this story. And one employee wrote an extensive blog post, which he said he did sort of personally, about his experience at the company and painting a very different picture. I think the most prominent thing that Amazon's done, though, is Jeff Bezos, the chief executive, wrote to all the staff saying that he didn't recognise the Amazon being portrayed in the New York Times article. But he said, read it, and he said, email him or HR if you've seen examples like this, which was perhaps unusual, but lots of reputation management people say it's probably the right thing to do because you can't ignore an article like this. I mean, he even said that people would be crazy to stay if Amazon was really like that and that he would certainly leave.
Given this fairly swift action taken by the chief executive, is there a view that the company has been able to limit the damage that's been done by the article? The share price, I noticed, didn't really move terribly much after the article was first published.
Amazon is used to criticism, right? This is not the first time. Amazon often gets into battles, whether it's about its role in driving down prices and how that's hit small independent bookstores, or its negotiations with publishers. It's also not even the first time it's been criticised for how it treats its workforce. The FT's Sarah O'Connor did a magazine piece a couple of years ago that looked at the conditions in Amazon warehouses, where staff are often on temporary contracts and have their every move tracked by handheld computers. But while I don't think that it'll have a great impact on Amazon's relationship with its customers, who value it for being cheap and efficient, it could potentially put off some talented employees from applying for jobs there.
And presumably it further sort of differentiates Amazon from some of the more touchy-feely Silicon Valley tech companies that set great store by the approach they take to employees and the benefits and the sort of support they offer them. I mean, Google tries to portray itself, for example, as a more caring company.
Certainly. I mean, Amazon is very different to other Silicon Valley companies. I mean, firstly, it's not even in Silicon Valley. It's up in Seattle, which is almost a two-hour flight away. Secondly, you know, it hasn't gone in for this kind of free lunch, better vacation policy, kind of working conditions that Google and Facebook have really pursued. In Silicon Valley, there is a sort of a work hard, play hard culture, but it's not actually one where people work particularly long hours. I mean, I would say I've almost never lived anywhere where people go home at such reasonable hours.
Just finally, is there a case for suggesting that the work hard, weep hard approach of Amazon is one that investors might actually welcome, in that it is trying to secure the best possible financial performance for its shareholders, and it's sometimes the staff that have to bear the brunt of the pressure?
I mean, I don't think any shareholder is going to complain about firing underperforming staff and pushing your workers hard. But while I did, you know, draw out some differences from Amazon from other tech companies, it still does compete for some of the same technical sales and marketing talent as Silicon Valley. So if it is driving away those employees, that should be a worry for shareholders.
But as you say, it seems that Seattle is a world away from Silicon Valley when it comes to the way staff are treated, or certainly the way they talk about the way they're treated. Hannah, thank you very much indeed.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.